Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
And welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. I am so happy to be back behind the microphone and in conversation with you. How was your week? Was it good? Was it snowy or like rainy? Or are you finally experiencing spring? What was it like? I'd love to hear from you. As always, our conversation here exceeds beyond just what happens with this microphone and your earbuds in your ears and spills over into social media. So definitely, if you've been enjoying the shows, I want to hear from you on social media at Lisa Hendy. I, as you listen to this, am gallivanting around Scotland. So if you imagine yourself wherever you are and me with my son, Adam, who you know is off at Music Conservatory this year. So my husband and I are over visiting him. So virtually, as you listen to this, imagine me listening to some really good traditional Scottish music and maybe trying to sip on a scotch, although I'm not much of a scotch drinker, but that's where I am as you listen to this. And through the magic of technology, I'm so happy today to bring a conversation to you with a good virtual friend of mine. She's someone who's been very important to me in my own spiritual journey as a mother. And I'm absolutely thrilled to be welcoming our guest today, Colleen Duggan. Colleen is a mom herself. And it's interesting that on her website, in the place where most people typically have a bio, Colleen says this. She says, "I'm Colleen Duggan, author, Catholic wife, mom of six, speaker, and hater of cheesy bios." I love that. And I love you, Colleen. Welcome to Lisa Hendy and Friends.
Thank you so much. It is such a treat, really. Lisa, to be here. I'm so grateful. And I really do hate the bio thing.
Well, we don't need a bio because we get the chance to actually talk to you for about the next half hour, all about the amazing work that you're doing. And most especially our the book that I'm holding in my hand, which is absolutely like the cover of it is one of my favorite covers I've seen in a long time. The title of this work is Good Enough is Good Enough: Confessions of an Imperfect Catholic Mom. And before all you guys out there who are listening to us right now go, "Well, this is a mom show, I'm going to tune out," I'm going to challenge you to stay, because I think this conversation has something for everyone, as does this amazing book. So Colleen, tell us a little bit, first of all, about yourself and your family.
Well, I'm a mom of six, like I said, and I'm a doer of many things. I wear many hats like you, Lisa. When we came to our parish about 7 years ago, it's a 10,000-person parish. I say it's the best place to be. It's just a great place. And they had no active women's ministry. I just couldn't believe a parish that big didn't. And so a few years ago, on my own accord, I accosted my beloved pastor after the bishop had written an evangelization letter, and I accosted him after Mass one morning and said, we need to do a Bible study for women. Can I start it? And so I started a women, that was basically the inception of the women's ministry that I oversee at our parish, and it's one of my great passions. So in addition to working with my kids and my husband and maintaining a house, I'm really involved in service work at the church, and I love that very much. And then also the writing that I do on the side is a great passion of mine as well.
And what's the age range of your kids?
4 to 14. So
awesome.
I have officially entered the teenage realm, and it is not. It is a great thing. They're awesome kids, but it is not for the faint of heart.
Well, as a veteran of that particular phase, I encourage you to persist. There's goodness there, but it comes with a lot of rolled eyes.
It's so true, and they are awesome. I mean, the things that they say and read and do, it's really awesome. It's just emotionally, it can be more challenging. I just never would have anticipated that it would be this challenging emotionally for me. You know, the
detachment. You think when you have a baby that there's nothing, like you'll never have a solid night of sleep in your life. And then when you have a 2-year-old, you'll never, ever get them to do anything that you want them to do. And every phase is so hard when you're in the midst of it. And then you realize somehow down the line, wow, I survived that. And now I'm in the next hardest thing. So
it's
high school is kind of like that.
It's really
actually
true.
The one who most kept me on my toes I love both of my sons so much, my younger one. I should have realized it in high school, but he went on to double major, and one of his majors was philosophy. And the young man never met an argument that he didn't want to have.
Those questions are good, though.
You know what? And the thing is that kind of pushing back that we get in those ages, I think, is actually a good thing, because, you know, that's how we learn and grow, too. And so because I told you so is not an appropriate answer for a teen. But we also don't have to, act like we know every answer. So let's go find the answer together as a good journey to take.
I love that he majored in that. It is really true. And what you're saying is true. And it's already challenged me to learn some new skills, you know, and that's always a good thing. It's just hard. It's just hard to change.
It is. Well, speaking of things that are hard, one thing that's very challenging is self-disclosure. And on this particular book, Good Enough is Good Enough. And the title, Confessions of an Imperfect Catholic Mom, is kind of perfect for this book. Because where you go with this work, Colleen, is a pretty honest journey. Tell us, kind of give us an overview of what readers are going to find in the book.
Well, I talk a lot about my early stages of marriage when we were having babies fast and furious, and, you know, it was a real blessed time because I was finding a lot of joy in parenting my kids, but I was struggling with leaving my full-time job and what was my identity outside of my job going to be. It was hard to make that transition. And then interpersonally, you know, we had so much going on with our kids and you know, the whole pregnancy, postpartum, then there's more kids, and there was just so much. It was just a very kind of intense time. And my husband and I started to have some interpersonal issues, and I was also having interpersonal issues with my little toddlers. I was seeing that the way sometimes I reacted to them instead of responded to them was not in the most loving way that I wanted. And I was praying and I was devoted to my faith and I was attending the sacraments and I struggled to understand why I was having so many personal issues, I guess, even though I had, from the outside, I had a nice home, a loving husband, I had these beautiful kids, and yet I was still really struggling to find joy in my daily life. And I really saw that there were some behavioral tendencies that I kind of fell back on that weren't actually helpful, and I think kind of enslaved me instead of making me feel a sense of freedom and peace. And so I, you know, for a long time I thought, oh, well, I must be the only one who struggles with this. I must be the weirdo in the world. But as I've gotten older and I've talked to a lot of women and moms in my work, and then also through personal counseling and spiritual direction, I was able to receive, you know, and the sacraments, of course, helped me with healing. I was able to realize that, sure, maybe some of my behavioral tendencies were unique to me, you know, sinful tendencies or struggles, personal struggles, but that generally there are many of us struggling in how to raise good children, Catholic children, and in our marriages. And so I wanted to share about that a little bit in the book, especially some of the things that affected me early on. I came from an alcoholic home, and you know, I love the 12 steps and programs. I think they're divinely inspired. And I had what the term they use in AA, rock bottom, you know, when someone's using some alcohol or drugs to such an extent they hit a rock bottom. I had my own emotional rock bottom. And that spurred me to seek some healing and through counseling and spiritual direction. And it was those things, through those things and through, you know, faithfully returning to the sacraments over and over and over again, that I realized, oh, maybe I'm not alone. I mean, yes, I am a little crazy. that's real, but I'm not alone in my struggles, and some of these struggles are universal, and I wanted to kind of share those in the book. I worried that it would be too tell-all, and that it would be almost like, you know, kind of the salacious magazines you see on the checkout aisle, because the intention wasn't that. It wasn't to be exploitative of myself or anyone. It was really to show how God can heal really broken people, and he's helped healed me. You know, I've experienced God's healing, and he's not finished with me yet, but that was the impetus in sharing so candidly about my struggles.
I think that's significant. I know in my own experience of writing and, you know, now in giving a lot of retreats on the topics that I've written about, that some of the things that were the most challenging for me to put into writing, the things that I really, you know, prayed over time and time again, really, Lord, I'm going to put this in there. You really want me to say this? And to trust the hand of my editor. I know you thank your wonderful editor, Amber, and your acknowledgments.
Awesome. Yeah.
I think it sometimes takes a trust and confidence that the mission of why you're doing that is for the right reasons. And also, you know, a trust in your editor to understand that they'll never let you venture kind of into what is just icky or what might be a danger to your family or whatever. So, but those things that were for me the most challenging to kind of put into writing and to put out there are the things when people come up to me at retreats and they've read my books and they're highlighted and underlined and dog-eared, those are the various sections that people will say, wow, you know, when you said this, I felt like you were writing it just for me. And that's your divine paycheck at those moments. And for them to know that I'm not alone in this journey, which I think for mothers can be such a solitary feeling at times, that, you know, most of us have educated ourselves and had careers and all this, and then suddenly we find ourselves, you know, in this very giving proposition and feeling like, you know, no one comes up and goes, wow, Mom, you know, you changed that poopy diaper really well. I'm going to give you a great performance appraisal for that. So feel confident that, you know, you're doing that for a reason. Was it something that, like, how did you approach discussing it with your husband and with your kids that you were going to sort of go there a little bit in the book?
Well, my husband is, it's so funny because I'm an extrovert and I'm out there and I'm an open book in life anyway. And the people that I'm closest to in my life are the most private people you will ever meet. And so, but my husband John has always supported my writing. And I was also worried, I shared some things about my extended family that were also very personal. And, you know, some of those things aren't my story to tell. And so I worried about that a little bit. And so with anyone who was mentioned in the book, I had them, especially the adults, I had them read and give their permission, and they basically had to sign off on whether this was okay and if there was anything to change. And I have to tell you that no one asked me to change anything. There's been a lot of healing in my family, and so I just, if there's one thing that I would be emotional about, it's just the tremendous support that I have experienced, both from my mom and dad, but also from my husband. If anything, I see how much love that they have for me, and that they really believe that this is something, a message worth sharing. So I feel very grateful for that.
I think that's significant too, in that sometimes writing, whether, you know, you're writing just in a journal or for something private or for something public, that first of all, taking that step of kind of respecting the other voices in your story by having those conversations with them, and sharing, you know, what your intentions are, but getting their approval. But this can really be a vehicle to kind of strengthening relationships. And so I'm glad to hear that on the other side of it, that, you know, that there's been a blessing there for you. I'm curious too about the kids, because when my first book came out, I think my oldest son was in high school, and I remember being on that journey with them, and they're really kind of too young to pick it up and read it and understand, but they're, you know, they're all over our work, right? And yeah. So this will be a beautiful testament to your younger kids, you know, something that they can read to better know you. What do you imagine, you know, someday when they're a mom themselves or a dad and they pick up the book, What do you want for them when the future kids pick it up and read it?
Well, I love that question. I think that one of the greatest things for me, I talk a lot in the book about my struggle with knowing how to take care of myself well, you know, authentic self-care, not necessarily scrolling through social media or eating a bag of potato chips. You know, sometimes I think in the Western world we think that's authentic self-care, or maybe that's like, you know, just the easy kind of self-care, we, you know, in quotes, that's what we call it. But it's taken me really years to figure out what are those things that are going to renew me as a human being. And of course, prayer, it is, you know, going to the source of life and plugging into him is going to be the thing that, you know, makes me feel whole again. But it's taken me a long time, and I don't think you just have to do prayer, but silence, reading, all those kinds of authentic things that really nourish my soul, writing, I would consider in that. I really struggled with that first, and for my girls, I think all the women in my family, in my extended family, they're such good, generous, holy people. And for them, I think it's been a learning process of how to really authentically take care of themselves as well. And so that's something I've really wanted for my girls, sincerely, is to know, I don't want them to struggle in the same way. I can't prevent that, but I can model good self-care. And so for them, if they were to ever pick up this book, you know, in 20 years, I hope that they would know that they, because they're children of God, you know, daughters of a king, that they are absolutely worth taking the time to go have a bath and read and drink a glass of wine if that's the thing that, you know, will help them. And that is a sign of love, not only loving themselves, but loving the people around them enough to know that they have to recharge in order to give what they give away themselves. You have to have something to give. And when my girls, actually, when the publisher sent the box of books to me, and all my kids were so happy, and they were jumping up and down, and I gave each of them a book and said, you know, this is for you. And my girls, I'm sorry, they hugged the book to their chest.
Aww.
And they saw, you know, they saw my name, and I don't know. It was just a moment. It was totally a mom moment that I'm having right now on your show. I'm sorry I'm crying.
That's okay. We're among friends, Colleen, so that's perfect.
It was so beautiful. I was like, you know, I don't know. It was like a kind of like a perfect circle, if that makes sense. It was like I started in this place that was kind of dark, and at the end, you know, I made the journey and came back, and it all worked out, if that makes sense.
It does. And that's a tangible moment that, you know, when someone sets off to write a book, especially if you live in family, there's so much giving of the family that has to go along with that journey. You know, you and I don't live in a world where we sort of get to go off on a writer's retreat for 6 months and write our books, you know, sitting next to the shores of a beautiful lake. And I kind of crack up when I see some of those pictures on Instagram that some authors post. I have written in ladies' rooms at the restroom and, you know, in the front seat of a minivan while picking up kids at school and all that. And but for them, for all those times when, you know, daddy made dinner and the kids right. were asked to be a little bit more quiet, or you missed a soccer game or something like that because you were working, you know, this is where they see that there was something that was produced from that and that they're a part of that. So that's a beautiful thing to share.
It was really beautiful. And I just, you know, I wrote it for my whole family, but for my girls, it means something a little bit different, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. I think someday when my boys pick up my work, maybe as a gift to their husband or their wives, or, you know, as their dads or something, that they'll see a different side of me. And yes. maybe it will put some of the pieces together of who their mom is as, you know, as Lisa, not just as yeah. mom. So that's yes. beautiful. Well, Colleen, so let's dive into kind of the message of the book, this idea of these confessions that you offer. If we pick up the table of contents and take a good look at it, you'll see that there are five confessions. And I think I want to hone in on number three, which is, I don't know how to keep my kids Catholic, because it sort of is your journey and theirs too. And it's also a question that our church is asking. I don't know how to keep my kids faithful. You know, I've done all this to teach them. Where do you go in that particular chapter?
Well, you know, I really came to own my own faith in college, and I majored in theology, studied the teachings of the church, and I was in a Catholic college, so my faith was very, you know, I started going to daily mass in college. It was very important to me. So when my husband and I married, we wanted to raise Catholic kids. He was from a large Catholic family, and that was something really important to both of us. And I don't know about you, but I'm thinking all women probably have this tendency, you know, it's like the Martha Stewart syndrome. You know, you think it's going to be a certain way in your head, or at least I do, you know, and so I thought, okay, now I'm going to raise Catholic kids. I know how to do it. I've read the books, and now we are going to implement Catholicism. And it was so messy, you know, it was something I felt really passionate about and I wanted for my family, but I was just so shocked when, you know, John and I were sitting down trying to teach them how to pray the rosary, and the four kids are like running up and down the couch, and someone's decked someone, and the toddler has pooped in his diaper, and, you know, we're trying to have this like religious experience, and instead of being, you know, on Mount Tabor, like, you know, they were with Jesus in the Transfiguration, I felt like I was in Gethsemane, and it was just so discouraging to me, and I was like, this cannot possibly be what your will for me, Lord. And then we would bring them to Mass, and it was such a humiliating experience. And, you know, they acted like kids. They acted like normal human beings, and we did not have reasonable expectations of them or of ourselves, or even probably of the people around us, honestly, you know. So we were discouraged a lot. And even though we had this great desire to form our children in the faith, I can at least speak for myself that I felt like a failure a lot of the time, because it didn't look in reality how I had envisioned it in my mind. And I was frustrated. And so I realize now, of course, that God was using all of that, of course, to form me in my vocation and to help me grow and detach and all of those things. But when you're just starting out, or at least for me, I had all these ideas of how it should be, and that it, and I guess I also had this expectation that it would be easy, because I was already saying yes to doing something that a lot of the world rejects. You know, in our world today, it's hard to convince, I think, many families, maybe not most, they have a desire for good things for their family, but I didn't need to be convinced about raising my kids Catholic. And I think I had this latent expectation that God should therefore somehow make it easy for me. And our humanity, my children's humanity, you know, John's humanity, all of that was limited. and it was hard. So I wrote the chapter, I Don't Know How to Keep My Kids Catholic, really because I don't. I pray my kids will love the faith, maintain their faith. I would be devastated if they didn't. But also in recognizing in my, you know, through my journey that really I can do is model and be really committed to my own faith life, teach them as best I can, and then really leave the rest up to God. It let him, trust him to fill in the gaps instead of worrying and obsessing as I was inclined to do prior to really trying to let go of some of that control. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. And actually, I think it is indicative of the tone of this book, which is to invite the reader into an examination of challenging topics. Certainly every chapter here, each of the confessions, I think people will pick this up and nod their head no matter where they are in their own faith journey and go, yeah, that's me too. And that the overall striking tone of this is a tone of hope, a tone of gratitude, and also just a sense that you're not alone. I think what you've accomplished with the book is something that I always wanted to do at Catholic Mom, which is not to say, oh my gosh, I've got this all figured out, so here's how you should do it, and XYZ, and, you know, follow these 7 easy steps to being the perfect Catholic family, you know? Like, you can make a listicle blog post out of that. No, I don't think so. You know, every family has a different journey. Every person has a different journey, but what you offer your reader is the sense that they're never alone, that you're journeying with them, and also more importantly that, you know, we have this loving God who kind of for him nothing, you know, that we can do can ever stop the love that he has for us. So to me, it's a beautiful accompaniment of people right where they are in their journey.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I hope I did not want to do the listicle thing. I kind of cheat when I kind of tweak, and I even say in the book, this is not a didactic treatise on how to overcome perfection or control, because I don't know how to do any of that, and if I did, I would surely write that book. But I've looked for the books that tell you how to do that. But I do sincerely, in the core of my being, believe that wherever we lack, whatever our inadequacies are, and I have plenty of them, that God, I trust God to make up for the rest. You know, it's like, and in the book I share that the miracle of the loaves and fishes. I mean, what hope that little boy gave to those thousands of people, because he showed up with his few fish and his few loaves, and then Jesus fed thousands. And that's what I see Catholic parenting as. You know, I am called to be faithful to teaching my kids about the church and God and what is good and what is right and true and beautiful. But I don't have to obsess about the process. That's not what I'm called to do. I can trust, I can come prepared with my loaves and fishes, and I can trust him to take care of the rest, and he will. It may mean that the kids suffer. It may mean that the kids embrace things that I wouldn't necessarily choose for them myself, but you know, I believe that he will take care of it. It's just like that famous bishop who said to St. Monica, you know, how can someone who loves their child as much as you do, when she went to him, he was, you know, off philandering, and she went in an emotional torrent to this bishop, and he said, how can anyone who loves their child as much as you, and who's prayed for their child, and loved their child, and worried about them, he will come back. It's not going to be lost. And that is kind of the prayer that I've adopted in my own life, that, you know, even if everyone's screaming at each other on the way to Mass, and that does happen, you know, and it's been ironic with doing these interviews, you know, I've been talking about, oh, the beauty of our faith, and then I'm hanging up, and last night I was yelling at the kids, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if people knew. But you know, it's bad. But I just think that the fidelity is the important thing. Not that we are perfect, not that we look perfect, not that we do a perfect job, but that we are open to his will, and that we try to love his will, embrace it, and live it out in our daily life as best, but as imperfectly as we will.
I love it. Well, every chapter has these beautiful kind of like bonus features. There's a closing prayer that kind of Colleen writes, and they're beautiful, but you can kind of use it as your own kind of segue into prayer. And then also included are reflection questions at the end of every chapter to invite you into a deeper discussion. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. But I also want to tell people, definitely if you're like me, I often read the end of a book first. So you'll have a great page. payoff if you did that with this one, because honestly, Colleen, some of the writing in the conclusion is my favorite writing in the book. And I love the analogy of the donkey. So folks, just, I don't want to spoiler alert you, but definitely read the conclusion. You could read it first if you want. And then you end with a litany of humility for parents. And this is actually, I'm thinking, inspired by the litany of humility that's prayed in the church.
It is, yes.
And definitely written through the prism of a parent. And this prayer is something that I think we could pray every day in our families. It's absolutely beautiful. So, Colleen, one of the resources that you've pointed out to me is an accompaniment, a group study that's possible for this book. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. Well, I wanted, one of the things that I've been frustrated in my own kind of spiritual journey in parenting is I really have craved, and maybe, again, it's the extrovert in me, an honest but safe place to have conversations about the challenges that we're having. You know, and there's a difference between like moaning and groaning, but then also seeing things through the eyes of faith. And our vocations can be so rich in it, you know, pointing us to God and getting us on that avenue to holiness. And so I wrote the companion study to be shared in small faith sharing groups, either, you know, for women or moms groups or book clubs, because I just feel really passionately about having safe spots and giving parents permission to talk about those things that they otherwise maybe wouldn't share with, you know, in just casual conversation. And we actually ran a pilot program of this just in January and February at my own parish. And I've been leading Bible studies for years. So at first I thought, oh, well, maybe it's just me. I'm biased. It's my book. But the ladies at the end, almost every single one of them commented that they just didn't want it to end. And they just really appreciated the forum and the support and the prayer, knowing people were praying and struggling with some of the same things they were in their daily lives, just was a consolation to them. And then also pointing people back to the sacraments and God was also a consolation, that we don't have to walk this journey alone, and that there are people around us that we see in our daily life who are also struggling, but we can be a consolation for each other. So if you go on my website, the study guide is free. It's Ave Maria did such an amazing job designing the guide, and you can download it and run a group in your parish. And I've been telling people if they do, they should email me because I will Skype in.
Yeah, you can have the author right there at your group. The website you can find this at is ColleenMurphyDuggan.com. And just know that wherever you're listening to Lisa Hendy and Friends, that we'll have links in our show notes at LisaHendy.com. So you can get a link over to check out the group study. And this is a 6-session study, and all of the instructions are, you know, very simple of the way that you can gather a group. So you can be that person like Colleen who goes up to your pastor and says, hey, this is what we need. And, you know, I think it's interesting. I was giving a presentation this last weekend. One of the statistics that I ran across in my preparations was something like 3,500 plus parishes don't have a resident pastor. And so Now in an age when, you know, our church is honestly vitally changing because of this, you know, situation that we're in with preset, all of us are being called upon, you know, if we want resources like this, to be the person who says, gosh, let me gather a couple of my friends and let's get together and study, because this is the stuff that really matters. And here's this beautiful resource just created for you.
It is. And we talked about that in my group, that I actually just said in another interview that I had done that I had gone to the Mid-Atlantic Congress a few weeks ago. They had it over here in the East Coast that discussed best practices used in ministry in the church today. And one of the things, the big takeaways for me from that conference was one of the speakers said that in their research that they've done, that the young Catholic families today are really looking for practical ways to live their faith. They want to know how to be a domestic church at home. And I just loved that. I think it's so true. I see that with the young mom. We started a mom's group at our parish, and I see that these women are on fire, and they love Jesus, and they want to know how to teach their kids. And so I'm so happy that my book might in some way be kind of like a practical resource. It won't solve their problems. Their kids will still probably throw sippy cups and try to take baths in the holy water. But they will feel supported in their journey. And I think we need that in the church. I think that, you know, the parents today need that. I know I do. I need to feel supported in my vocation. So
I do, and I think it's the reason that I continue to seek out and kind of try to walk alongside younger people who are on their faith journey, both because they inspire me with the richness of what they bring,
yes.
But also just so that people don't feel like they're alone and don't have the feeling that I sometimes had when I was in Mass when my kids were little, which was everybody is perfect and I'm a failure.
So, that's right. I'm a fraud. So I should not be here.
Yeah. So the bottom line is that good enough is good enough.
That's so right. If you got there and your kid, and who cares if they don't have shoes? If you got there,
yeah,
you are in the most important place. But it's hard.
And
we compare and we don't sometimes think it is good enough. And that's a lie I think Satan uses as well. Because God's standards are not necessarily the human standards. That's something I found in my own life.
God existed before Pinterest. So there you have it. So, again, our guest today has been Colleen Duggan. All of Colleen's resources can be located, especially that free study guide for your group or for you personally. Head on over to ColleenMurphyDuggan.com for this. We'll have links in our show notes. If you live anywhere near a local Catholic bookstore, wander in and ask them for Good Enough is Good Enough. If you can't find it there, you can get it at AveMariaPress.com or on your favorite online book vendor. It's available in all those places. Colleen, what's next for you?
Well, I do have an inkling of a second book idea, like ruminating in the vast expanse,
nice,
the wasteland up there, you know, called the brain. And so I would love to maybe tackle that one day. I've been writing still and taking care of my kids. You know, all of this is all the things that I do is in the margin of family life. So I would love to do any of those things. And I've really been enjoying, you know, the work I've been doing promoting the book and having the opportunity to talk to other women. That has been so personally edifying to me. I'm sure do you find that with your work too, Lisa?
Oh, yes. I mean, it's really interesting with writing because it's such an introverted process. I mean, to accomplish the writing of a book, you sort of have to go to this very kind of solitary space and,
definitely,
you know, create, and you wonder, you know, you imagine in your mind who you're writing for. And then to have sort of the beautiful blessing of being able to know that people connect with what you write, it's a great blessing. And I'm thrilled for you that you'll have that experience. And I'm frankly just grateful. I'm grateful to you for writing this greatly needed resource.
Well, thank you very much. You're very gracious. It really is. It was really God and the support of people like you too. I have to say, you know, the various people who is, you know, encouraged me along the way. I've been, you know, like you and Randy Hain, who is another editor of mine, was a big, big support to me as well. So he told me for years, you know, you got a book in you. You got to get serious about it. That was always so kind, you know.
Well, it's great to finally be holding it, and I'm sure it's just the first of many. So, Colleen, thank you so much for your time and for being a guest with us. And again, friends, you can reach her at ColleenMurphyDuggan.com. And as we round out today's episode, I just want to, again, invite you to leave us a review. If you're listening through iTunes, you know, you can give us some stars over there. It helps really to help the show grow and spread, just that we get some feedback from you. And I'd ask for your prayers again. As I mentioned, while you're listening to this, I think I'm going to be in the cone of silence in Scotland. I may be sharing a couple photos on Instagram, but I'm really hoping to kind of ramp down and be with my family for a couple weeks because I'm going to be coming out of it fast and big with a lot of other future exciting things coming up this spring and summer. So definitely share the podcast with a friend. Definitely, you're always welcome to send me voice feedback. You can do that by just pulling out your phone and hitting that little record memo on your voice memo and then emailing it over to me at lisahendy@gmail.com. Or really just if you would, keep me in your prayers. That's a great blessing too. So until next time, friends, I wish you and yours all the best. God bless. I'll see you soon, friends. Bye-bye.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
The Cincinnati Catholic Men's Conference is back. Tickets are on sale now for Saturday, April 28th at the Taft Theater at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. The speaker conference roster is being hailed as one of the best lineups in the country. In rare appearances, come see Father Mitch Pacwa from EWTN, the man motivator Father Larry Richards, former Moeller High School and University of Notre Dame head football coach Jerry Faust, and the big celebrity keynote, Baz Rutten, UFC world champion, MMA world champ, and movie star. The conference theme is What It Means to Be a True Christian Man in Today's Society. Don't miss the incredible day of motivation, spiritual benefit, and fellowship with men from all walks of life. Get tickets now at cincinnatimensconference.com or call 513-214-1534. That's cincinnatimensconference.com or 513-214-1534. Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.